Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Locked On Jaguars podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Christopher Thornton. Today, we will be going into the final episode this week before the Jaguars take on divisional rival, the Houston Texans. But first, I am your host, Christopher Thornton. You can find my work on Twitter, at MistoCristofo, as well as following the show on Twitter, at Locked On Jaguars, as well as on Facebook at Locked On Jaguars. You can subscribe to us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and be sure to leave us a review and rating on iTunes. We're trying to get to 50 before the end of the month. But diving right into it, cornerback Jalen Ramsey had a pretty short press conference today, not really addressing a whole lot. That's the second presser in a row that he hasn't really given a whole lot, which we'll be listening to it on here, but I don't really have an issue with, but after we listen to it, I will give my immediate reactions. Here is the audio from today's press conference with cornerback Jalen Ramsey.
Where's the confidence level this week in the defense? You guys still have that confidence that you guys can bounce back this week defensively?
We'll see.
What's your thoughts about going up against Hopkins?
Same as usual. Same as it's always been, all the other. My past 2 years, y'all asked me the same question. Last year, y'all asked me. Next question.
Is he one of the guys you really like going up against? I know you like going up against AB, so.
Yeah.
Why? You guys talked a lot, you enjoyed the banter back and forth, or, just testing yourself against him?
It's a good matchup.
It's a pretty big change in mentality, Jalen, for the defense. Like, you guys have always had confidence. And now it's, we'll see if we have the confidence. Why such a change?
We still got confidence, but we're going to see how the game goes.
You guys only saw Watson for the second half of the opener last year. What did you see in that from him? What do you see on tape this year?
Really good. All right.
And there you have it. That was the extent and the entirety of Jalen Ramsey's press conference today. Obviously, a lot of short answers, just like after the game, which is something unusual that we usually that we don't always get with Jalen Ramsey. I think the media kind of tries to egg him on and get those sound bites and those quotes that will circulate around the internet. But he isn't biting these past few weeks, and maybe it's because the Jaguars have been blown out in the last 2 weeks. The score might not show for the Chiefs game, but they've been outplayed defensively both games handily, especially by the Cowboys, who just boat raced him to a 40-7 win. But I don't think people are used to this Jalen Ramsey, and I'll just give my immediate reaction on it. I'm okay with it because when the defense is playing bad and they force a turnover or something and they celebrate, people on Twitter are saying that they shouldn't be celebrating, they're still losing, they just need to keep focused. And I think it's the exact same way with this right now. The team is losing and they're just not biting. They're answering what they need to, because we all know this is a league mandated press conference or a team mandated conference. So definitely insert a Marshawn Lynch gif of just saying, "I'm just here so I don't get fined," which is, I think, very true for Jalen in this case. I doubt he wants to talk to the media right now. Maybe when the Jags are winning again, the defense is playing good, he's playing good, maybe, but by no means is he playing bad. But he's not going to want to talk while the team is performing as poorly as they are right now. So that's just my quick reaction to that. Obviously, I think take this with a grain of salt. I think just everybody in the building and the organization is down right now. But a win this week against the rival Houston Texans to put him over the hump of 500 again, I think will do wonders for the libido and just the kind of charisma of this team right now, because energy is down, the fan base is down, the team is down. And there's really just not a whole lot really to be excited for right now, because the offense is sputtering. The defense is letting up 30 to 40 points a game the last two games, 35 a game if you do quick maths. But there's going to be people that blow this way out of proportion, and they really shouldn't, because it's not something to make a big deal about. It's just, it is what it is. And people are going to blow this out. They're going to make a mountain out of a molehill, but I think we should just kind of take this with as a grain of salt and move on. But before we move on to Zach, who interviews Dr. Aaron Bates, who we had on the show before, they're going to break down the next segment and some injuries, go over that. Dr. Bates is back on the show. We loved him last time. There's great fan support for that, and he'll be showcasing some injuries and stuff like that in the next segment. But before we get over, I have a quick word from our sponsor, Vivid Seats. We all love a night out, whether it's seeing our favorite band in person or being there in the crowd to cheer on our favorite team. With Vivid Seats, you can attend the concert, show, or sporting event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is a top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is offering listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers only to receive $20 off $200 or more to save even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee, from the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more. Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event.
All right, on our next segment here at Locked On Jaguars, we are joined by a friend of the podcast, former Jaguars team doctor and current doctor over at Southeast Orthopedic Specialists, Dr. Aaron Bates. Last time he was with us, we talked about Cam Robinson, Marquise Lee, Leonard Fournette, and that was like 2 weeks ago, and suddenly it feels like there's been like 25 more injuries to go over. So we're bringing him back today to talk about a couple of key injuries this Jaguars team is facing while they sit here at 3-3. Dr. Bates, really appreciate you coming on and talking with us again.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So we'll go ahead and dive right into it. There's a couple of big injuries that have set this team back a little bit more. Tight end Austin Seferian-Jenkins has been dealing with a core muscle injury through the entire season. After the Kansas City game, they realized that was probably enough playing through it, and it was time for him to go ahead and get put on the IR. It is supposed to be the short-term delegation. He should be back after 8 games, but this is the third year in a row that Jaguars fans have witnessed a player go down from having some sort of core muscle injury where there's not too much talk about it. That's just all it's labeled as. But Dede Westbrook missed 9 games last year because of it. Alan Hearns missed time in the preseason 2 years ago with the core muscle injury. So if you can, just kind of speculate on what exactly, you know, I guess comes where that injury can come from, how it's treated. Because from what we know, all three players have flown up to some specialist in Philadelphia to meet with them about this type of injury.
Yeah, that's correct. There's only a couple people around the world, actually, that kind of take care of this surgically if you need surgery for it. And one is, I think it's a lady in general surgeon in Philadelphia. But anyway, in the core muscle injury, that can mean a lot of different things. I think what they're specifically referring to is something called a sports hernia. And that's actually where the rectus abdominis muscle, your abdominal muscle, kind of attaches down to your pelvic bone in that region. There's a lot of other things around there, but that is where that injury kind of originates. And really, it's hard to know what the mechanism really is. It's really unknown or not well known. And so there's not a lot of folks around the nation who take care of it. And we know it takes a while to recover from, whether you have to operate on it or whether you're treated non-operatively. So initially, you always try to treat things non-operatively, particularly in this case, to see if you can get someone through the season. And I think Seferian-Jenkins was just showing that he was not improving from week to week with non-operative treatment, with physical therapy and anti-inflammatories.
Now, this obviously, like I said, has been an injury that has bugged the team in the past, and it always seems to come really early. Like you said, it's not necessarily easy to treat. There's few people that do it. But from your best idea, what do you think this might come from on a football field? Could this be maybe something that occurs in the conditioning to training camp phase, considering that this just keeps happening right at the start of the season for this team?
That's a loaded question. I mean, it's very difficult to say what it actually is due to. I mean, you can have a rash of ACL tears with one knee. Well, then you say, well, what does that do to? You know, is that due to improper conditioning, improper management of certain overuse injuries? You know, who knows what this thing really is due to? We could probably give you a laundry list of things that possibly it could be due to, but nobody would really know. Whether it's improper stretching, improper conditioning, are they pushing them too hard in the summer workouts and summer camp? Are the guys just not coming in the camp prepared enough? And so there's a lot of things that it could be due to, but nobody really is gonna know for sure why. Maybe we think that this organization is plagued a little bit more than others.
Definitely. And then we can kind of move on to another two players with injuries that might be a little easier to really be able to diagnose and get into. We'll go ahead and start with DJ Hayden. He's the starting nickel corner. I think Tyler Patman's done a decent job in his place, but at the same time, Hayden was really, really performing well. And then he went down with a toe injury, and there's not many specifics out there as to what exactly happened, how it occurred, what it is for that matter. You hear people talking about playing through, like, you know, a broken finger, a broken toe. So some people at first thought it wasn't serious. But then there's stuff like turf toe that gets to players and suddenly they're sidelined for weeks. And as of right now, Hayden's been sidelined for a couple of weeks. So assuming it is turf toe, like, I don't know too much about that injury exactly myself. So just kind of give us a rundown on, if it is turf toe, exactly, you know, how one would come across that, how long you have to treat that for, and what you do with it.
Yeah, certainly. Turf toe is really more of a sprain of one of the ligaments on the bottom part of the big toe, called the plantar plate. And we don't realize how much we need our big toe to push off and the cut and the pivot and the jump and the change directions. And so each time you do one of those things, if you have that type of sprain, then that's going to affect you. That's going to affect your performance. That's going to affect how you feel on a day-to-day basis. And it's again, when you get it in season, I've seen guys miss 4 weeks from something like this, so 4 games. And people think, oh, it's just a toe, but this can really, really plague guys. And some even need surgery for it to come back. But if you need surgery for it, then basically you're out for the year. And so what they'll try to do is treat him non-operatively and kind of brace it. And then once he starts to feel better, get him back out for workouts, but also, you know, put something in his shoe to help, offset the stress at that joint in the big toe.
Now, DJ Hayden has missed, I believe, 3 games so far, so hopefully it's not too many more until he can come back from what, at least at my guess, could end up being turf toe. And then we'll move on to the last injury I want to cover, and that being Corey Grant went down for the year with what they're calling the Liz Frank injury. And that's obviously, it's something in the ankle area, but it's kind of deemed as, you know, a very brutal injury, especially for a running back who has to rely on, you know, cutting and making those types of move with his ankle and the base of his foot. So exactly, you know, how serious can that be long-term for Corey Grant looking past this year? How do you rehab from that type of injury as well?
Yeah, first of all, it's not really an ankle injury. It's a midfoot injury, and so it's a ligament that goes from one of the bones into the from the midfoot to the first the base of the first metatarsal, which is one of the bones in the base of the bone in the forefoot, and this is not a uncommon injury in high level contact athletes like football players. Just in the way their foot gets kind of twisted around in piles and things like that, and as far as cutting and pivoting, things like that. The other place you would see it is in motor vehicle accidents. But again, this is an injury that typically you need surgery for, to either repair those ligaments or let them scar in, and you have to do some pins across the joint, sometimes screws across the joint to stabilize the joint where that sprained in the midfoot. And typically, if you have that type of injury, that means that you're out for the year, and recovery is a good nine months or longer.
Yeah, it's definitely brutal. And really, the last thing the Jaguars needed was more brutal injuries. But it seems exactly. like it seems like every week they just keep coming. So I'm almost afraid to say it because it could end up jinxing the team. I don't really look forward to talking too much in the future, because if so, that means we have a lot more injuries. But of course, like last time, and I'm sure we will talk again in the future, thank you so much for joining us on the show, Dr. Bates. You know, all the info you can provide is really, really appreciated among the fans, especially who are curious to find out exactly what's going on with their favorite players.
Well, it's my pleasure. I like coming on to discuss this.
And when we come back, we will be talking a little bit more about this upcoming Texans game.
Sure.
Isn't it crazy how much we pay for new brand name clothes? Why do we buy new kids' clothes if they just outgrow them in a few months? Wouldn't it be great if there was a place to discover awesome discounts on gently used clothes? There is Swap.com, the world's largest consignment and thrift store. Stop driving to store after store and sifting through racks. Easily sift through millions of clothes in seconds on Swap.com with easy-to-use filters to find just what you need. Over 14 million tons of textiles are wasted each year. Shopping secondhand at Swap.com helps prevent textile waste from polluting the environment, which is something you can feel good about. Swap.com is the world's largest online consignment thrift store. With Swap.com, you can save up to 90% off retail price off your favorite brands like Lululemon, Carter's, Nike, J.Crew, and Gap. Quality hand-inspected items are added daily. If something doesn't fit, enjoy hassle-free returns within 30 days. Special offer to our listeners. Get 35% off select items with your first order with the promo code LOCKEDON. Plus, find new deals every day on Swap.com's homepage. That's SWAP.com, promo code LOCKEDON. All right, so following that awesome segment between Zach and Dr. Aaron Bates, we are going to dive into the final segment of the week heading into this Texans-Jaguars matchup, which is really a must-win for both because both are coming in 3-3, and a win will likely put them in first in the division if Tennessee loses this week. So we're going to kind of go over some PFF numbers and some matchups that I think will really determine the game. And one number that I want to look at is 90.5, and that is the PFF grade for defensive end J.J. Watt right now of the Houston Texans. And I think I can say that I am a little bit shocked to see how well he's playing right now. He's the second-best defensive end in football right now after being out for almost a year with several injuries. Some believe that he might not ever make it back to the plateau that he was at, but he is playing at a phenomenal level right now. I believe he's leading the league in sacks right now with 9, and he has a very good case to increase his sack count this week against a Jaguars offensive line who really has been struggling lately. If you look at the numbers across the line, third string left tackle Josh Walker has a 45.7 grade. Andrew Norwell has a 59.4. Linder is the only one that is above 65 with a 76.4 on the offensive line. AJ Can has a 55 flat, and Jeremy Parnell has a 64.4. And those numbers just aren't going to do it. Bortles seems to be under duress for most of his games while they're playing. And also, you got to help running back TJ Yeldon. He needs to be fed way more. He needs to make an impact in this game, because when he is getting these snaps and getting the ball, he is making plays and the team is not giving him the ball. So I'm hoping to see both the defensive scheme change. Wash said that they've been too cute and that might change this week, and I'm really hoping it does, because I think that will really lead to some increased results for the defensive side of the ball. But I think the first matchup is containing JJ Watt, something that we haven't said in over a year really when going against the defensive end. But I think they're really going to have to play their best against JJ Watt. The second one is the passing game. These Texans corners aren't fantastic, but they're also not bad. Cornerback, he's a safety, but he's been playing cornerback the last few weeks. Kareem Jackson, He has an 83.1 grade. He is playing very good ball right now, as well as Jonathan Joseph. He's not playing horribly, but he has a 71.8 grade. So the two corners there are doing pretty well. Sharice Wright, who is the third corner, he is at a 60.2 grade, so nothing great there. But you're going to have to get this passing attack going. You can't rely on just the run game. You're going to have to be two-dimensional. Keelan Cole hasn't really been getting the ball a whole lot. I don't know if he's been locked up or if Borles is not seeing him like he was the first 2 weeks. But I think the key matchup here is Westbrook. However, Kareem Jackson, who's been the best defensive back for the Texans, will be shadowing Westbrook if they're both in the slot. So that is something to look forward to. Blake Bortles has had a pretty good rapport with Westbrook the last few weeks. Westbrook, I think, is going to be the key to the passing game. If you can get him going, it opens up everything else. The third one is tight end group for the Jacksonville Jaguars. J.M. O'Shaughnessy has been injured now on the injury report for 2 days. And that means you're going to be going to likely fourth string tight end Blake Bell, the Belldozer, if O'Shaughnessy is not healthy. So the tight end group is getting really thin right now, and some are wondering maybe it would have been worth spending that extra $3 million to keep tight end Mercedes Lewis at this point in the year, because it would be kind of great to have that sixth offensive line per se in Mercedes Lewis, as well as a veteran who knows the scheme and just a healthy tight end. Mercedes Lewis has been pretty healthy throughout his entire career, so that'd be something to really look forward to. Now, flipping the script to the Texans offensive side of the ball, obviously Jalen Ramsey, DeAndre Hopkins, a matchup that we always look forward to. Hopkins had his number in the last time they played, but that's because Hopkins is a top five receiver in the NFL, and Ramsey knows this. Ramsey respects Hopkins, says that he's one of the best in the game, if not the best in the game. So that is something to obviously look forward to. Containing Hopkins is always a must whenever you're playing the Texans. Saxonville is going to need to get back to what it was last year. They're going against a mosh-posh offensive line in Houston. The average grade looks like to be upper 50s. Julian Davenport at 47.3. Senio Kelemete at left guard, he's a 58.7. Nick Martin at center, he is a 60.1. Zach Fulton, their right guard, is a 55.1, and their right tackle, Kendall Lamb, is a 57.6. So going against the nickel, or going against the base defense, you'll have Ngakoue against Davenport, which is a favorable matchup for Ngakoue, who is a 78.9 on the year but has 26 pressures. That is seventh in the NFL for his edge position. And then Calais Campbell going against Kendall Lamb, who is a 57.6. We might see the emergence of Saxonville, which would be very helpful for this Jaguars momentum defensively going into the latter half of the season, because I saw a tweet today that if the Jaguars can't turn around this week, they probably can't turn around for the rest of the season. And I think that's very true. This is a must-win game for the Jaguars. They have to beat the Texans. They have to get that lead in the division if Tennessee loses. And they have to get over that 500 hump, because I think a lot of people looking at the schedule would have had the Jaguars with two losses max now, and they're at three. And although it's not a big jump numbers-wise, their last two losses have been blowouts where we think the team could have been more competitive. So getting that momentum going into the second quarter of the season is going to be something that the Jaguars need to do, and it starts with the defense. The defense is going to need to start forcing turnovers. They're playing great in between the numbers wise, points allowed, well, the last 2 weeks haven't, but points allowed, yards allowed, they've been phenomenal coming into the last 2 weeks. But now those turnovers, they need to start getting those splash plays, because the offense is really struggling right now without Leonard Fournette, and they're losing guys left and right on the offensive line, wide receivers, tight ends, you name it, they're dropping like flies. We are definitely getting the brunt of the injuries that we missed last week. So that is going to be a key thing to do, is force some turnovers, get some sacks, make Deshaun Watson uncomfortable in that pocket. You can't let him sit, because he will beat you with his legs or he will beat you with his arm. And with a guy like DeAndre Hopkins out there who can catch anything within 10 yards of his arms, that is going to be something huge that they need to do. So the defensive line versus the Texans offensive line is another one. And I think just personnel change, I think it's time for Barry Church to maybe have to hand the reins over to Ronnie Harrison. Ronnie Harrison has been playing very well in the snaps that he's been doing, and Church has been struggling this year. And I think it might be one of those moves that I said last on the last podcast that I was on, that it's a subtle move, but I think it's one that sends shockwaves through the fan base and through the team. that a rookie can come in and take your job no matter how long you've been or how much you've been getting paid. Putting a rookie in there could be a catalyst for change back there. Ronnie Harrison's a baller. He makes big plays. He's a hard hitter and honestly has the instinct of twitch that I think could allow him to start and compete in Church's spot. So if I'm Todd Walsh, I doubt he's going to bench Church this week, but Ronnie Harrison seems to be getting more and more snaps at Sam and as the big nickel. So having him on the field helps, but I think eventually it should be a move that should be made before the season is out, that Harrison should be the starter at strong safety with Tashawn Gibson, who's been playing very well this season. But that should just about do it for this for today's episode of Locked On Jaguars. We broke down the Jalen Ramsey press conference. We had a reaction to that. We had Dr. Aaron Bates back on the show, who Zach talked to. Broke down some injuries because the Jaguars seem to be stacking them up. And then we went over some PFF grades, you know, some key matchups for the Texans game. And it's a must win. I'll give my score prediction. I think the defense is going to come out and be more aggressive, and I think it's going to be successful. I think the Jaguars are probably going to win handily this week. I know the last few weeks I've been giving the Jaguars wins and it's gone horribly, but I think the Jaguars will rebound this week. I'm looking at something like 21-10. I think that either defensively they're going to score a touchdown or something, but I think the Jaguars are going to put up some points on the board this week. So 21-10 is my final game prediction. Be sure to check our workout on Twitter at Locked On Jaguars, as well as on Facebook at Locked On Jaguars. Be sure to subscribe to us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Player.fm, Megaphone, wherever you can find podcasts, we're likely there. As well to follow myself on Twitter at Mr. Christopho, as well as my co-host Zach Goodall at Zach_Goodall. We're always posting stuff out there that's maybe not podcast related, but it's Jaguars related. And we will catch up with you guys this weekend after hopefully a Jaguars win against the Houston Texans.